Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to move around a little bit in the scripture and look at some things and talk about the Bible. The Bible. The question about the Bible is quite simply that, you know, Pastor mentioned that this book has been attacked. It started 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden when Satan came to two perfect people and simply did this. Listen, he simply did this. He said, "Hath God said." He started out in trying to get two people who had never sinned, never seen sin, to talk them into sinning. It wasn't the devil's fault. It was theirs. They made a choice. But in order to get them to do that, to sin, to go against what God said, he had to get them to question it. He didn't say God didn't say that. He said, "Hath God said?" He asked a question. And he put a question in their minds, and because they were questioning what God had said. Now understand something. What God had told them was very simple. There's two perfect people, the only people on the earth at the time. They're in a perfect place, would have lived forever. They had one rule, one thing. They could not eat of a particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God even told them, the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. So the commandment was simple, the instructions were clear. And the way the devil talked these two perfect people in a perfect place to disobey God was to get them to question, is that what God really said? Okay, so then the question this morning is this, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Is this God's word? Now listen, is this a religious book? Is this the word of God? Now for some people, they believe that, what they do is they flat deny it. They just cannot accept that the Bible is the Word of God. Probably because it's a little difficult to accept the parts of the Bible they don't want to accept. And they deny it. They just say, look, it was just written by people over years. It's a collection of religious sayings. They think it's no more important than the Quran or the golden letters of Confucius or any of those other religious writings. They say it's just a collection of things. What people said over centuries, stories that were told, and then somebody wrote it down and all of a sudden it became a religious book. So come on, you really can't put any confidence in the Bible. Well, look, this book, it was written over a period of 1,500 years. Penned by 40 different types of people, from kings to fishermen. Who believes fishermen? From kings to fishermen, for goodness sakes. There was even an IRS guy that wrote part of the Bible. How confident could you be in that guy? And so you got 40 different kinds of people penning the Bible on three different continents in three different languages over a period of 1,500 years. I mean, come on, look at me. Could we say this is God's word? From Genesis to the Revelation, all of it. Some people just blow it off. They just deny it. Some people will accept parts of the Bible, the parts they like. Well, I like what Jesus said. I like the words of Jesus. Well, it's all the Word of God. But wait a minute. But they say, but you know, here's the problem. I can't accept the fact of a literal heaven and a literal burning hell. Jesus preached 14 sermons about life after death. 13 of them were about hell. But they can't accept that. Judgment, the kind of stuff in the Bible that's not pleasing, man exalting. You know, all have sinned. Wait a minute, that means I'm... Yes, right. That part, those parts of the Bible, some people won't accept that. They'll just dismiss that part of the Bible. And they'll just say, well, you know, that's there. But I only like this part of the Bible. This is the part I like. I don't care for that. I don't like this. And literally, they decide they're going to be God and sit in judgment on the Word of God. So then there's those who won't accept it at all. There are those who accept the parts that they like. Oh, wait a minute. And then you get into social acceptance, what's socially approved of today. There's some stuff in here that nails a lot of lifestyles and things that people embrace today as right and good that the Bible says is wicked and abomination. So, whoa, wait a minute, we can't have that. Well, no, listen to me. So they deny parts of it, only accept the parts they like or that are politically correct and DEI'd and all the rest of the junk that goes on. Third group are people that just believe it is wholly, completely the Word of God. From Genesis to the Revelation, it's all God's word. the parts we like, the parts we don't like, the parts that we think is good, and part. I mean, an ark. Come on, an ark built with animals in it, and then they get that stuff. You mean a virgin-born Son of God, Jesus? Only person ever born of a virgin, one person in the history of mankind. Only happened once, hasn't happened since, won't ever happen again. All of that. Those who accept that the Bible is the Word of God, that's what we accept. It's wholly, completely, all of God. It's what He said, not what man said. And we'll even show you some scripture on that in just a moment. But how do we know that then? Well, you've convinced yourself and you've got... No, here's the deal. What we've come down to is the authority of the scripture rests on two principles. Number one, what it says. And number two, faith. See, well, there's my problem right there, Pastor Johnson. I got a problem with faith. Really? You don't operate by faith in any area of your life. There's no area of your life that's not factual, proven, hard. So you believe in evolution, for instance, that we go to the zoo and throw peanuts to our relatives. When it's still called, look at me, it's still called the theory of evolution. It's not factual. But you accept. But it takes as much faith to believe in evolution as it does to believe the Bible. We all believe something by faith. So when it comes to the principle of what the Bible says in faith, it shouldn't be a problem for us. But let's cover a little ground this morning. It'll be a very simple, basic lesson. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start at verse number 14, if you would. Because we're going to keep this spot in your Bible open. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. 2 Timothy 3, start at verse 14. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking to the young preacher Timothy, and he says to Timothy, but continue thou, verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's our verse, all Scripture. Now, look that up. I took 2 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew in Bible college. I have been successfully delivered from all of it. I looked up all Scripture. You know what that means in the Greek? It means all Scripture. All of it. That's why we accept the Bible to be wholly, completely the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How did we know? How did we get the Bible? How did it come to us? How do we have that kind of confidence? How do we believe? Look, 40 people, different people used to pen their part of Scripture over a 1,500 year period of time. How do we know that it's not been tainted by them? That they didn't tamper with it? Have you ever played a circle game when you were kids or young? You sit in a circle and you start a story on one end of the circle, it goes all the way around. Everyone's supposed to repeat the same story. By the time it gets back to the person who started it, not even close. Sounds like Congress. But the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. So you say, yeah, but I mean, come on. Somebody must have put something in there. Somebody had to tamper with this somehow. The promise of 2 Timothy 3:16 is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what is it talking about? First of all, let's understand the word is here in the Bible. Pardon me for sounding like Bill Clinton. Is, what does that mean? Does that mean was? Could be. It means is. It means it's an active present tense word that means the word of God that he has inspired will continue from when he gave it to when he get. And he has inspired that scripture. So we'll come back to the promise of it in just a second. Here's the deal. Inspiration means God breathed, God given, God promised, and God preserved. Give you a little theological term for inspiration of Scripture. It's called mechanical dictation. In the old days when I teach this, I'd say you go to a typewriter and you... That's what happens. People laugh at you now. You're a typewriter. What in the world is he talking about? A keyboard, if you want to. Nowadays, there's software. You can just speak to the computer. It even does your thinking for you now. It's amazing. But so the idea of mechanical dictation is this. When God used, for instance, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament. He penned them. He didn't write them. God came to Moses, and he said, Moses, write this down. In the beginning, God, Moses, write that down. And Moses took what God told him and he wrote it down as God told him to write it. Inspiration means the scripture then. So, for instance, if you use I've just finished a book that's about to be published on the lessons from David and Goliath. So I wrote it all up. Mrs. Wheaton had to type it up. If you notice, Mrs. Wheaton kind of does it like this. You understand why. She had to read my handwriting. She's getting so cross-eyed now, she cries, tears go down her back. I mean, it's pretty bad. But I write it out. She types it up. I edit it. She retypes it. I edit it. She retypes it. Then I send it to somebody, and they edit because the English is bad. And then it comes. By that time, it isn't what the original writing was, by even close. But see, that's man writing something. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The principle of inspiration isn't that God told people what to write and they wrote down what they thought he said. They didn't write down what historically they were experiencing at the time. It's called dynamic equivalency. It's a term that means, yeah, they wrote it down, but when they did, see, in their day, this is how they understood what they were writing. No. Look at me. If that's the case, we have a book written by man, not by God. It has to be wholly, completely, by inspiration of Scripture. It has to be God in the work. See, that's where the principle of faith is. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. The principle of faith with the Bible is quite simple. Do you believe God gave us his word and God made sure it was what God wanted said and written, and then God got behind that promise and kept it for 1,500 years? No longer than that. Hold your place there in 2 Timothy. We're going to come back to that. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Old Testament saints believed that God had given us his word. Proverbs chapter 30. It's right in the middle of your Bible there. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30 and verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. Not was, not will be, not going to be. It is. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30, verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found to be a politician, a liar. You see that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have every word Bible. We can't have that if the Bible as it was given over that period of time by that many people in different continents through all of the languages, if man got his hand in that thing, we don't have a Bible. But since God promised to inspire his word, and then God promised, as I'll show you in a few moments, to not only give it to us, as he said, but to keep it for us so we would have it. Without that, we have a book that's tainted. It's been tampered with. So it's important to understand how God gave us his word. He inspired the word of God. This is what he said. So they wrote it. Then when they wrote it sometimes on animal skin, sometimes on papyrus, sometimes on parchment, sometimes on vellum, a different. But listen carefully. Those documents that were originally given have not existed for centuries. Among most Christians today, they believe that those original documents that God gave, that's where the inspired word of God was. Here's a problem that doesn't exist now. So look at me. If the documents are what is inspired, we don't have a Bible because they're gone. Thousands upon thousands of years, 1,500 years have passed, and those documents don't exist anymore. So for especially theologians, I don't have a lot of confidence in them, especially theologians to tell people that, they don't sit down and even think about what they're saying. The Word of God was inspired. No. Is. Present tense, active verb, is inspired. That doesn't mean God continues to give inspired word. It means he continues the word he inspired. And that's very important. Yeah, but you see, Brother Johnson, I mean, come on, after all this time, well, go back to 2 Timothy, that passage I wanted you to hold at. We read that verse 14. Did you see that when Paul's talking here, speaking to this young preacher, Timothy? Timothy, as you know, was raised by his mother and his grandmother. They were Jews who came to Christ, got saved, and then Timothy got saved after that. So look at verse 14, 2 Timothy 3. He's telling this young Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them," his grandparent, his grandma and his mother. But look at verse 15, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Then he says, "all scriptures given by inspiration of God." Now look at me a moment. But whatever Timothy was taught by his Jewish grandma and his mother, who later became Christians, whatever they taught him from the scriptures was copies. They didn't have originals either. They had Old Testament, the Torah, the Old Testament scripture, the Masoretic text. They had that, but it was copies of copies of copies that were passed down through the centuries. Paul said that was inspired scripture. Paul says that was good scripture, holy scripture, able to make thee wise. So the idea of inspiration of scripture helps us to understand two important principles about the Bible. Number one principle is how God gave us his word. He told people what to put down on the document that they wrote. He told them what to put, but he made sure it was what he said, not what they thought. When people look at stuff today and they look at the word of God, they say, "Well, yeah, but you have to understand, I mean, in that day, that was a different time." Yeah, it was a different time. No question. Their idea of the way they lived and how they lived, totally different than us today. But ladies and gentlemen, that again puts man in the equation. That means if we don't have any more confidence in the Bible than what people thought when the day that they lived. Come on, when I said typewriter, a bunch of you giggled because you thought, "Man, is that dude old or what?" Yeah, and I used to listen to cassette tapes too. You want to get really old? Let's talk about cassette tape. How about get way back in the old days with reel to reel? Yeah, now we're talking. 8-track tapes. Go ahead and laugh your head off if you want to. I got you. Okay, fine. Yeah, that identifies what era you came from, right? That goes with bell bottoms and leisure suits. But anyway, the point is, those were comfortable. My time. Does that influence my time, my understanding of the Bible? See, if God did that, ladies and gentlemen, then he put man in the equation enough to mess with the book. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Inspiration is how he gave us his word. Inspiration is how God made sure we would have what God said and not what man said. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, easy book to find, it's right after 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to start at verse number 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord, Christ Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Look at me a moment. This is Peter talking about what he saw when he walked this earth with Jesus. So look here. This is an eyewitness account he's about to give you. Now look at verse 17. "For he," this is talking about Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" You know what Peter's talking about? He and Peter, James, and John were with Jesus up on a mountaintop. And a cloud covered them over, and all of a sudden they heard God speak from heaven. So not only did they see Jesus, they heard God's voice from heaven. They heard it. And they saw Jesus, what's called transfigured, the Shekinah glory inside our virgin-born deified Christ came out. They saw all that. So this is what he's recounting. Now go on though, watch. And then verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Now look at verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Well, look at me. What could be more certain than seeing it and hearing it? He said, "I'm going to show you what's more sure than what we saw and heard." Verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed unto a light, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. What is this sure word? Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter said, you know what was more sure than what I saw with my own eyes, what I heard with my own ears? You know what was more certain, he said, than that? The Word of God, the Holy Scripture. Sometimes I remember a man, he's a good man. He said, you know, Brother Johnson, wouldn't it have been wonderful to live during the time of Jesus, to walk and talk and actually see him? I said, well, yes and no. Number one, no toilet paper. Number two, people, they lived to their 40s or their 50s, and then they were dead. I said, number three, no football. But anyway, I said, why would that be so good? He said, because then we could know for sure. So I took him to Scripture. I said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Do you understand? People look at me. With a Bible in your hand, the inspired word of God, that you have confidence in the God of heaven to give it to us, you have in your hand something more certain than seeing with your own eyes, hearing with your own ears, more certain than that. And notice that Peter puts in here this important statement. No prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. False religions, you have to understand, every cult today, Christian cult today, was started in a Bible study by people who couldn't accept what they saw written, so they started their own religion. You come to Shasta Baptist Church, I assure you, you come here, you're going to hear the Word of God taught and preached with confidence that this is what God says. Now, it's not always going to suit you. You're not always going to like it. It's going to go contrary to some of our living, our thinking, and that kind of stuff. But that's okay, because you know what? I would have something more sure from God than myself, my mind. People make their own little gods today. So we have Scripture. So now we have inspired Scripture. God gave it to us. But how did we get it from inspired Scripture through 1,500 years and 40 different pen authors penning it in three continents and three different languages? How did we get it to us? Go to Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 then. So it was great they had it, but what about us? I mean, today, now, after all this time, God has not given any more Scripture for hundreds of years. Book of Psalms chapter 12, please. Because there's an important doctrine that goes with the inspiration of Scripture. It's called the preservation of Scripture. So God could give it, but could he keep it? I mean, through all the time, languages, you're talking the oldest is the Hebrew language. Then there's a little bit of Aramaic in there from that part and times in the Middle East, etc. Then there's Greek for the Hebrew, for the New Testament. How do you go from one language to another language and transfer it and keep it the way it was given? I mean, come on, I know enough Spanish to get myself in trouble. I was down in Mexico preaching for a brother, Ramos, and we were done with the morning service, and he said, Brother Johnson, he was on one side of his auditorium, I was on the back of the other side, he goes, are you hungry? And I thought, I'll bust out my Spanish. I said, tengo hambre. And everybody started laughing. You know what I said? I have man. And they just turned and looked at me. Yep, he's from California. I mean, they just looked at me. I still can't say it right. Hungry. Hombre. Whatever. I still can't get it right. So the truth is, I thought I was really, you know, busting the Spanish out. Here we go, buddy. And I just told him I had a man. But so could you imagine going, look at me, from Hebrew to Greek. They're not the same kind of languages. Trust me, they are not the same. Hebrew is written right to left. It has no vowels in it. They have what are called shiwas, little marks at the bottom of each consonant that you have to figure out what the vowel, put the vowel in the spot. But they read it right to left. Greek is, anyway, you get into all these languages. How did it get, and then to English. English is the hardest language in the world to learn. It's very difficult. The word red, how many different applications to the word red are there? You know what I mean? You get because of what Psalm 12:6 says. Look at it. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O man. Thou shalt keep them, O theologian. Thou shalt keep them, O Greek Hebrew scholars. Thou shalt keep them. What's the next two words, church? Yeah, there you go. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation until somebody gets their greasy, stinking hands on it. No, it's forever. Forever. Isaiah 50, I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 59, verse 21. It wasn't the only place that the preservation is taught. It says this, Isaiah 59, 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit which is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seeds. That's his generation. Saith this Lord, from henceforth forever. You got it? God promised he would have his word. Give it to us, inspiration. Preserve it so we would have the inspired scripture in our hands. Now, it's very important to get this concept. So when Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He didn't say something close. He said every word. So Jesus realized we could not have what we need unless we had an every word Bible. Got to have an every word Bible. But now today, to be honest with you, it's very confusing to keep up with all the different translations that are available. The Bible's translated into 3,756 languages. There are 3,336 versions of the Bible available today. You think God meant it for it to be that way? I think he meant for every language to get the Bible in their hands. And if you've ever messed with modern versions or any of these other versions, you know this. They're not the same. You say, yeah, but they're close. Oh, so we want a close Bible. Or we want an every word Bible. See, the principle of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, being the word of God, has to be more than God gave it. It has to be God gave it, God kept it, and I have it in my hands. Now that makes a total difference. So then look at me. So you don't have to go to a theologian and when you read something and say, I wonder what that says in the Greek. I wonder if that Hebrew part would change what God gave it to us. At Shasta Baptist Church, we have had a position from the gate, the start of this church, I know because it started it, that the Word of God today in the English language, the inspired Word of God, the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people today is a King James Bible. You say, yeah, but there's the New King James, there's the NIV, the BVD, the HIV, and they got all the rest of these versions. How in the world are we supposed to know what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to go, look at me, are we supposed to go play buffet with it? Ooh. Ooh. But okay. Are we supposed to go do that? Just say, well, I'll get a multiple version Bible. It's got 15 versions in it, and I'll just go down and read the verse and pick out the one I like. Now think about it for a moment. That means you are sitting in judgment on what the Bible says. Modern versions were all created, all of them, from the first one, the Revised Standard Version of the middle 1800s, till every version since then, all of them were created on this principle. There's something wrong with the Bible. We got to fix it. That right off the bat tells you there's something wrong with their thinking, not ours. They say, yeah, but you know, the King James is thee and thou and canst not and concupiscence, and they got all these words in there. I don't understand. When they took it in the 1611, they translated from the Textus Receptus body of manuscripts, they translated God's word. The English language at that time, the middle 1600s, had the most words in its vocabulary it's ever had. Nowadays, people barely speak Cro-Magnon. Yo, Adrian. I mean, it's about where they're at now. So we're going to dumb it down to modern language. You see what's happening? We're tampering with the Bible. Bible says it's pure, We don't add to it. We don't take from it. Revelation 22 tells us it's a curse put on somebody who takes away from the Word of God or adds to the Word of God. We got to leave it alone. Because we're trying to understand the Bible with our reasoning and our minds instead of understanding the Bible by the Holy Spirit's help and direction. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we don't have time this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says the Spirit reveals the deep things of God, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So then there's two issues quickly, and I'll finish on this. Number one, you have to be saved to understand the Bible. You can get John 3:16, that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can get salvation out of the Bible as a lost person, but that's about it. The rest of it, you're going to get in trouble, because the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Bible. So salvation is essential. Number two is this: a spiritual Christian. We live in the world, act like the world, talk like the world, look like the world, do what the world does, behave like the world behaves, does everything the world does, and then we wonder why we don't get anything out of the Bible. Hey, that's not the Bible's fault. The Holy Spirit will help us understand this book. If we have enough spiritual direction in our life from the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us when we're saved to get the truth out of the Bible. So then this thing about how God gave us his word is inspiration, how he kept it for us is preservation, and it's all about God who gave it, God who keeps it, and God who helps us to understand it. So then look, then what we have is this simple principle again of faith. Could God really do that? See what a tragedy it is when people attribute our existence on this planet to an evolutionary mistake. That there was nothing that turned into something and became people. That's the short version. You take God out of people's living and thinking, no wonder people have a hard time accepting the Bible is the Word of God. Well, I don't know about that. See, I question authority. I question everything in my life. Fascinating concept, but they don't question the parts about themselves. Huh? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You get confidence in the God who gave it to us, and you get confidence in that book that he wrote. And then, look at me, and then you do something with it. You know, it's the dumbest thing on this planet. Well, there's a lot of dumb things, but one of the dumbest things is a gun safe. I understand hiding your weapons so no one can steal them. What I understand is hiding the weapon you need to protect your house with. And put a trigger guard on it and hide it in a safe with a lock behind it. Someone breaks in your house, you have to say, just a minute while I get the thing out. Don't hurt anybody. Well, you don't leave it laying on the table so someone gets hurt. I understand that. But it has to be effective and ready to be used. And if you're an anti-gun person, you're in the wrong church. But the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. Watch. You need to have it effective so you know what to do with it. Okay? We have a Bible. For most people, it's furniture. It's laying on a coffee table somewhere with some hippie named Jesus on the cover. And that's about it. I mean, come on, people, look at me. You need to have a Bible, believe it's God's word and what he said, and then you need to read it, and then you need to live it and do something with what he gave you. There's a purpose for this. That's what changes people's lives. When the word of God is taken, believed, trusted, and acted upon. And that's the simplest principle of faith you'll ever hear. You act upon it. That's what changes things. That's what makes that book come alive in your mind, your life, because you live it, you see God back it up, and you see it applied in life. It's a life-changing book. The words of the Lord are pure words. Heavenly Father, bless what we've heard this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. May we have a greater love and confidence in it and in you because of it. Bless what we've heard this morning, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Man, thank you very much, Pastor Johnson. I hope you got the subject very clear in your heart and your mind about the Word of God. We're going to have our ushers come forward to take an offering this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll take the offering this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school lesson, Lord. Such an important topic about the Word of God. Thank you for the perfect Word of God that we hold in our hands. Lord, may we use it in our lives. Bless the offering as we take that now this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.